So funny.
I can't believe that's stuck all the way.
We've only done 102. I tried to kill it. You wouldn't let me. Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to the November 21st edition of the Laughing Place podcast. We are your LPP, and we are here to entertain you tonight. Let's start off with myself. My name is Governor Ratcliffe today. On my left, the Captain John Smith today.
Hi, I like biscuits.
On my right, the lovely, talented, and extremely young Pocahontas.
I was going to say, wow, thank you. Yeah. I'm young. Woohoo.
And across from me, the unsung...
But I like old guys. It's kind of creepy.
Talk about creepy.
Oh, yeah, good point. Ew.
And across from me, the unsung hero of Pocahontas, Wiggins.
Hey, nutty, nutty. Ho, nutty, nutty. I'm just glad you didn't make me the turkey.
And so we got rid of the raccoon. That would be Fanboy as
Grandmother Willow.
Wiggins, Pocahontas over there is my wife, Rebecca.
Thank you for not making me Grandmother Willow, by the way. I really appreciate that.
The thought never even crossed my mind. But. On my left is playing Captain John today. Is Captain John.
Ahoy.
Did you know that Pocahontas was actually christened Rebecca when she went to England and everything?
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
I did. So there you go.
And Wiggins was Fanboy.
Wiggins was Fanboy, of course.
Fanboy.
He coined the term way back when.
I wonder, is there anyone out there that gets the theme after I do the first three and then tries to guess what Fanboy is going to be today? I would play that game if I were listening. I know that.
I knew I was going to be Wiggins. Because I had the arrow thing on my head.
If you come to podcast with the arrow on your head, you're going to be Wiggins. There's no way around it. And my name is Doobie Mosley, and this is the Laughing Place Podcast. If you'd like to talk to us, you can do so at podcast@laughingplace.com. That's an email address. You can use...
It's more like, tell us. We're not going to have a conversation.
We might. We respond sometimes.
Yeah. We never pick up the phone.
Oh, that was the email address, I guess.
Oh, we never pick up the email.
No.
Yeah, but we email back.
We email back. Oh. I would say a good 2% of the emails we receive get a personalized response.
It's more than that.
Okay, fine. 2% get an automated response.
You can't have 2% of... What is... Of 10?
2% rounded down.
Okay.
866-718-9408.
Thank you, Captain John. We, as Fanboy said, we will not answer that phone, but we will listen to your message. Or you can post a message in the podcast section, laughplace.com discussion board. That's a fun way to go because even though we won't respond, other people on there will. So,
how exciting.
Let's get started, shall we? I think this is the 103rd podcast. It says 102 at the top of my paper, but I'm pretty sure I forgot to change that, so...
I gotta pee.
Thank you for sharing. As long as at least you're not code aging, but we'll get to that later.
Oh, dude.
No, I'm code ewing.
Let's start with the big news of the day.
The big news of the day.
Oh, I beg to differ.
Only because we spent about the last 5 minutes before the podcast trying to actually understand the big news. So here's the deal. Dia, which is the Themed Entertainment Association, initials TEA, has given out their annual THEA Awards, T-H-E-A. And,
but there's a debate at the table as to whether it's a THEA Award or a TIA Award, despite the fact that
everybody
it's called
T-H-E-A. But everybody calls it THEA. I've never heard it called a THEA.
Do people – we don't know anyone that actually know. We just know because people read it and they presume it's perhaps THEA.
True.
Just saying.
So it's their 15th annual awards, and they're an organization that covers the whole theme park industry, and they give awards of excellence to attractions and parks around the world. And lo and behold,
do they do anything else, or is this just their excuse to get theme parks to corporate sponsor a dinner?
You have no idea what they do.
Yeah, okay.
Neither do I, by the way. But I'm pretty sure they do quite a bit more. In fact, I wouldn't be surprised if lovely Pocahontas over there is going in her way forward machine and finding out as we speak, so...
I mean, isn't it a business-to-business concept? I mean, in essence, it's a way for people within the industry to gather together and share ideas. It's like that kind of organization.
And get their banners ready to hang up in front of their attractions.
It's like a professional organization, like any other
professional
organization.
For example, one of the things that they promote in their About Us section says they offer a full range of services to help you find the right vendor for your project, that kind of thing. So you're as a part of this. If you're in a creative type in entertainment industry, you would be a member of this organization, and then they might help you find ways to get your ideas received by larger companies. So they're kind of a business to business.
One
I guess,
big
in a way.
Happy family,
like a chamber of commerce for the theme.
In essence,
industry.
Yeah, exactly. And previously, they've given awards to such attractions. Like last year's best attraction was the new shuttle launch experience out at Kennedy Space Center.
Excellent attraction.
Attraction Rehab went to the Finding Nemo submarine voyage at Disneyland.
Excellent
fair
rehab.
To, fair to middling attraction. Excellent rehab, though.
They do call it the you know how like the Oscars have the Thalberg Award. This is the Betty Ford Award.
Oh, ouch. You know what?
And then the Classic Award last year went to SeaWorld San Diego. So what were some of the ones that won this year?
I'm pretty sure Finding Nemo won Best Rehab 2 years running.
That's really sad. Yeah, no, it'd be really funny if it was like test track for the past 10 years.
Comeback Player of the Year, 2 years in a row. So they gave away 17 awards. We're aware of 5 of them because the awards were announced November 18th. Happy birthday, Mickey. But the actual ceremony will be March 7th, 2009. So we were told about the 4 Disney Awards, and we managed to find out the big award. Let's start with the big award. Best attraction of the year.
Notice those are not together.
Unfortunately,
Disney,
this year.
Wait till Cars. Wait till DCA we have.
Didn't we open Midway Mania this year?
Do you think DCA
year?
As a whole could win, like, best refurb? That'd be cool.
But it's no, but it's
that'd be cool.
It's not within the, probably not within the time frame, right? Probably missed it by a little bit or something.
Missed it by that much.
I figured it was a annual thing.
But it's only November.
Because it opened in May.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it shouldn't have.
Oh.
Well, maybe they thought this attraction was better.
Could be.
Best attraction this year was The Simpsons ride at Universal Studios.
Simpsons.
Which also won the Golden Globe this year. ThemeParkInsider.com's Best Attraction Award. So, it's on a roll.
There you go. Wow. Yeah.
But Disney's contribution to the Thea/Tia Awards are, in the technical category, these awards actually were presented the night before.
Yeah, the main awards are presented at the inn at the park. The technical ones, the Super 8. This is guy's hotel room.
The main awards are presented at the Disneyland Hotel, which is why Disney has to win at least 4 awards.
Is that like part of their get the room for free if they win 4 awards?
Oh, you never guess what won Best Resort this year.
Oh, you guys. People aren't even going to know you're kidding.
We're kidding.
Okay, read the real stuff now.
Best Technical.
You think they could get a better hotel?
The Technical Award went to Muppet Mobile Lab. They say at Hong Kong Disneyland, it's actually been all over the place. Disneyland, Walt Disney World, Epcot.
Mars,
Venus, Jupiter. Actually, Muppets are from Mars, and Sesame Street characters are from Venus. I never got to see this at Epcot. Which
wow, that was so confusing.
And the Sesame Street characters are Muppets.
Are Muppets, yeah. So
that's like humans are from Mars, women are from Venus.
You said it, not me.
I'm leaving it alone. Move along.
Did you get to see them up at Mobile Lab?
I did.
Is it pretty cool?
It was pretty cool.
I'm so sad.
I didn't realize I went to Hong Kong, though.
I staked out 2 days at Epcot, I think. And
yeah,
never
you did.
Got to see
that's
it
right.
Play
past, well, I can imagine that you just sit there, though. It's mobile. Who knows where it was?
I knew where it was. It didn't come.
I saw it from a distance for a few moments.
Really?
From a distance.
It was leaving stage when I saw it.
I didn't see
hey,
it.
Hey, look, it's Dr. Benson Who's Butt.
Yep, pretty much.
One of the 2 live show awards went to Finding Nemo the Musical at Walt Disney World, Florida, USA. Excellent attraction. We talked about that at length when it debuted because we all loved it, didn't we, guys?
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Sure.
Oh, yeah.
Best any hamburger production ever.
Remember that show? How we heard it was bad, so we went fanboy. We went in there. We sat there with our smirking, making fun of it. And then about halfway through, we turned to each other and go, you know what? This is good.
So how many live show awards were there last year?
I didn't notice there being multiple ones in the same way that there was this year.
Was there at least one? Maybe that's why there were 2 this year. The other being The Legend of Mythica at Tokyo, Japan, Tokyo Disney Sea, which none of us have seen, but
Disney
by all accounts, it's truly a spectacular, huge production. 130 live performers and water.
And a whole
splash.
Can of whipped cream.
A whole can of whipped cream.
A whole can.
And being The Legend of Mythica, it also has this cool banner over the top of ThemeParkInsider.com. And finally, the Thea Classic Award this year went to a little park we like to call The Experiment, also known as Epcot.
94, 95, Center.
And I'll just read an excerpt of what they said. They said, since it first opened in 1982, Epcot has revolutionized and redefined the possible in several sectors of the themed entertainment industry, and it has influenced not only the development of theme parks, but also museums, branding experiences, educational attractions, and more. What's a branding experience?
That's when you get a hot poker.
And, yeah. The cowboys come up.
Is that how I got jumped into my gang?
I think anything in interventions would be considered okay. A branding experience.
By all that Epcot dared, all that it achieved, and all that it signifies, even today to our entire industry, it fulfills the conditions of a Thea/Tia classic venue, continuing to inspire the world and set high standards while standing the test of time.
No, wait. Wait.
Considering its competition, you know, Cypress Garden's not even open, it stood the test of time. No argument there. So congratulations to Epcot and
that's very cool.
Animal Kingdom and DisneySea and Hong Kong and DCA, where Muppet Mobile Labs actually premiered, for your awards. And we look forward to the ceremony in March, so we can talk about this again and hear who the other 12 winners were. Hey, fanboy.
Hey, Doobie.
Did you know that further demonstrating its commitment to quality 3D motion picture entertainment, the Walt Disney Studios has begun re-rendering its Oscar-winning animated favorite, Beauty and the Beast?
Yes, because I sent you the...
What's funny, I thought, was there were two press releases that came out movie-related. One, Disney and IMAX are getting together for a 5-movie deal. Two, Beauty and the Beast is doing a 3D movie. But remember when Beauty and the Beast came out in IMAX?
Yeah, I know. And to me, it's like, remember Disney was so behind IMAX Fantasia 2000, The Lion King, then they did Treasure Planet, came out day and date with the movie, and then, like, we stopped caring. So, maybe we can get an IMAX theater here out of this deal.
That would be nice.
It's a 5-picture deal coming out, starting with Christmas Carol, which I believe comes out summer 2000.
Wrong. Holiday.
November 2009, which is a Robert Zemeckis and Jim Carrey movie. So.
Mm-hmm. It's that motion capture type film.
Ooh.
Yeah.
It's like a hot cup of cocoa. And any idea what the others are going to be? Or
Well, they're going to be after that, so no. Probably just the next 5 they decide to do. And then I think if they knew what they were, they'd be listed.
Do you think there'll be more motion capture stuff?
I don't know that they'll exclusively be motion capture because I don't know that Image Movers Digital is doing that, you know, has that much throughput that 5 pictures would take a short amount of time. So, I wouldn't be surprised if it's like Toy Story 3 and stuff like that.
Of the recent Disney movies, other than animated, are there any that you think would have done well with the IMAX treatment? Because it's cool to see them on non-animated stuff, you know.
High School Musical.
No. Zac Efron's head isn't big enough the way I saw it.
Let me think. What have we released? Race to Witch Mountain. I mean, it's not out yet, but that might have been cool.
Trailer is. Teaser trailer.
Yeah.
That was cool.
Did you mention that Alice in Wonderland, that Tim Burton live-action hybrid, is going to be one of those IMAX films?
No.
I think it's...
That's a good one.
I think
well,
it's
I think it...
And Toy
Story. 3D.
Narnia.
As well.
Narnia would have been hot. Yeah.
Would have been hot.
Would have been cool.
It's so hot, it's cool.
Chihuahua. No, not really, no.
Jamie Lee Curtis that big.
So Beauty and the Beast will be coming out in 2010. And the nice thing about that is not only will you be able to see it on land, but I'm guessing you'll be able to see it on sea.
But yeah, you know what's interesting, though, about the Beauty and the Beast, not to
go ahead.
Completely ruin your segue, but it talks about how Don Hahn, Gary Truesdale, and Kirk Wise are working on it. Well, last we knew, Gary Truesdale and Kirk Wise were working for DreamWorks. So,
ooh.
You know, there's been a lot of bringing people back.
That's
just saying.
Nice catch there, fanboy.
You're welcome, sir. How do I know this? Because I was researching Gary Truesdale last night, and...
May I ask why?
Because I get that guy confused with the guy that does Doonesbury, Gary Trudeau.
Yeah, I could see that.
You and everybody,
name-wise.
Yeah.
Yeah, I could see
and,
that.
No, why was that? Oh, because I was just wondering what they were up to. Because I was researching...
Don't you ever do that? Just former Disney names and just, like, who have, you know, have left the company and just kind of... Like, every once in a while, I'll Google News search Matt Wemet and Cynthia Harris and just be like, I wonder what they're doing.
You know, recently, for obvious reasons, I did check up on Chris Anders.
Oh, right. Yeah, exactly.
Recently? Oh, because of Bolt.
Bolt. Mm-hmm.
What's she up to?
He has a website. He has a comic strip, actually, an online comic strip.
I like his website.
Oh, that's
it. I checked it out a long time ago.
I don't know what he's doing to actually make money. I did read in Rhett's article, it was kind of sad that in The Art of Bolt, there's almost no mention of Chris Sanders
right.
in the history that he has with the movie.
But that's not, that's not terribly surprising.
No, it's not surprising. It's just sad. But and by the way, he said it's a great book, but he just definitely notes that point.
But did they keep anything? The artistic style of Bolt is not.
It's not
Chris
really it's not the same movie anymore.
But it's a part of the history of the movie. I mean, because the movie, even though it's The Art of Bolt, they also cover the history of the film.
Okay.
So it's not just a bunch of art. So, as I said, Beauty and the Beast, in addition to being on land in 3D, will be on sea because the Disney crew... Was it both of them or just the Magic or Wonder?
No, both.
Both of them now have 3D theaters, which is just really
that's
cool.
That's awesome.
Which is nice as you're sitting on a rocking ship with some 3D that's barely staying in focus.
I've got a question. How much do you think the cruise line had to pay the studios to get the 3D prints of those films?
One team, one dream.
That's awesome. That's so cool.
What's this G for? I'm just looking at the 3D press release, and it talks about the Jonas Brothers 3D concert movie in February. Mm-hmm. Can't wait. Up in May. And G-Force in July.
It's a Jerry Bruckheimer film about action-adventure film featuring guinea pigs. Or guinea pigs, chinchillas, one of those kind of things.
So it's not a rock and roller coaster movie?
No. Okay. But I did grab my Black Les Paul. Because they've got a lot of... how many 3D movies they have coming out next...
We've got Jonas Brothers in February, Up in May, G-Force in July, Toy Story in October, A Christmas Carol in November.
Can't wait.
Which is also, never mind. That's also IMAX.
Yep.
Does that mean it's going to be 3D IMAX?
I would presume so.
Maybe IMAX 3D and Disney 3D.
Which movie are you talking about? Sorry.
IMAX. A Christmas Carol?
That's IMAX, yeah.
Okay.
But IMAX 3D is a question.
3D. It's IMAX.
Oh,
is it IMAX 3D? Yeah.
Or just IMAX and the 3D ones on the smaller screen.
No, that'll be interesting to see.
In 2010, we've got Toy Story 2, 3D, Alice in Wonderland.
Toy Story 2, 3D. That's a lot to see.
Toy Story 3.
3D.
Rapunzel. And from Touchstone Pictures, The Dance Phenomenon, Step Up 3.
I have a question.
One of these things.
When you make a sequel 3 and it's in 3D, are you required to say Step Up 3D? Or can you just say Step Up 3, 3D?
Let me think. Jaws 3. No, it's 3D.
Okay.
Jaws set the standard for that.
Yeah. By the way, in reference to G-Force, it's actually a conglomerate of various critters like you're talking about. There's guinea pigs, moles, hamsters, guinea pigs, that kind of thing. So.
Can you tell the difference?
Between moles
and guinea pigs?
Do the hamsters dance?
And hamsters?
And it's going to have the voice talents of Nicolas Cage and Penelope Cruz, according to online reports
so far. Is it
so
necessary to say voice talents? I mean, what if they're bad? Do you still say voice talents or just the voices?
Fine. Lead voices.
VAs.
The comedic vocal stylings.
Penelope Cruz and Nicolas Cage will be lead voices in the upcoming Bruckheimer.
The dubbing team.
The loopers.
And it's a combination of live action and CG effects. And it tells the story of a group of, quote, ultra-intelligent animal commandos who work for a government agency trying to prevent an evil billionaire taking over the world.
This sounds like the next Baby Geniuses, except animals.
That sounds...
It's a bizarro.
Not good. I know it's early.
That's what you said about Beverly Hills Chihuahua.
Yeah, that's also what I said about Wally. Anybody see Bernie?
No, because you didn't pick up the DVD.
Yeah.
Have you seen the leaked images of the Mad Hatter from Alice in Wonderland yet?
Yes, I did.
No,
it's really creepy.
It is really weird, so I recommend you look it up. Mad Hatter, Johnny Depp, leaked photos. I mean, there's not necessarily a confirmation of whether or not it's a Photoshop job, but there's been a lot of reports that that's actually how he looks. Whether or not the photo is too early to really see how he finally looks like, that's the design in question.
Who's playing the March Hare?
The March Hare is unknown at the moment.
I believe it's Lyle Lovett. I did see the leaked photo of a very angry Mr. Spock from the next Star Trek movie that was on the cover of a website.
Mr. Spock can't be angry.
Oh,
he's got
you should have seen. Just like a blurry picture. I mean, it's like some fanboy on the set. I don't know. Could be fake.
You were on the set,
fanboy? Not you, not the fanboy. A fanboy.
Oh.
Mr. Spock has no emotion.
That would not be true because he's half human.
He only has half emotion.
You know what I saw the other day?
Remember, this is one of those kind of weird rewriting of the story kind of Star Trek movies.
A relaunch?
Like Casino Royale, Batman Begins.
Reimagining.
Hey, you know what? All those were good. We should just start over from scratch all the time.
Pirates of the Caribbean.
Yeah. Oh, please.
Anyway, our next topic today is a walk-around dog, which, strangely enough, is what we have right here in our apartment.
That was Happy Under the Table, right?
He still is.
I thought you kicked me. Okay. I was a little confused.
I loved how you segued
from Pirates of the Caribbean to a walk-around dog.
What are you trying to say?
Pirates of the Caribbean is a dog.
No.
Of a movie.
Ouch.
Anyway.
It hurts.
Rebecca and I, did you get to see him, Fanboy?
Yes.
Did you, Captain?
The walk-around bolts and mittens.
No. That sounds like it could either be cute or horrifying.
They're cute.
I vote B.
You thought they were horrifying?
I mean, they're fine. I'm such a downer. I'm always so negative. But big, furry, walk-around animals that on screen are on all fours is really creepy.
Like Pluto?
Like Pluto.
Yep.
But really?
I'm so used to him because I probably saw him in person before I ever saw a Pluto cartoon.
Yeah, you probably did, huh? That's a really funny thought. I have to say, they really remind me of Warner Brothers characters. Like when I used to go to Six Flags and Bugs Bunny and Sylvester the Cat and... I don't know why, but they kind of didn't. And Scooby-Doo when you go to Universal.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, kind of reminded.
Don't board it!
That's so funny. Kind of reminded me.
I don't get it.
It's when the trolley goes by the parade, and there's the big sign that says, do not board. And all the little characters are waving at everybody as they go down the parade route. But, yeah. So, for me, I thought they're cute, and I enjoyed them, but it was just kind of funny because, like I say, they kind of remind me of Warner Brothers characters. But they were at the exit. They were at the usual spot there at Animation Gallery.
They replaced the Wally meet and greet, I believe.
Uh huh. And then they have the signs are really cute all around.
Wally meet and greet.
The Wally photo op. Maybe
the invisible Wally meet and greet.
Remote control Wally that they never happened.
He never.
I think they sold the ultimate remote control Wally at the store for $49.99, but.
Well, I remember, like, after it was delayed that they were saying, oh, come the DVD release, you'll be seeing him, and...
Yeah, still
no.
No,
not yet.
DVD, and there's Bolt, because we know what the animated feature of the year is.
And they've added the storyboards for that
I just laugh.
Walkway there, and when you exit the drawn animation thing, you can go and you can see some of the, pieces like you could for Wally, beautiful storyboards and sets and whatnot, and then when you leave there... And you can see the storyboards. They replaced all the storyboards with Bolt storyboards, and the posters along the wall now feature Pixar's Up, and various things like that. And then in the, do you remember what the animation class is called there?
No idea.
Okay.
Animation Academy.
Yeah.
They were
all learning how to draw Bolt.
Yeah.
The day we were there, everybody was walking on their computers.
Doing CAD renderings.
A little sketch of Bolt, which I didn't realize that they. I knew that they had a kind of a stable of characters, but I didn't realize that they would be that fresh.
Oh, and I think that attraction where you learn how animated features are made, that actually was. Where were they showing how they made Bolt?
No.
What were they showing?
Mulan.
Oh, with Chris Sanders still in it.
Yeah. And then it had a Bolt trailer. And then it had the Bolt trailer. So, yeah, it was kind of one of those moments where I was like, oh, that's an interesting juxtaposition. But, those things
good,
happen.
Mushu.
It happens. Those things happen.
How many of those people still work for the company?
It was funny. It led me to wonder the same thing.
Someone needs to videotape that and do, like, a pop-up version on YouTube. Now work for DreamWorks. Wrote a tell-all book about how horrible Disney is. Michael Lee.
Did appears in Dream on Silly Dreamer.
Yeah, exactly.
All that kind of stuff. That'd be an interesting little...
That would
be awesome.
Maybe it's there already. I don't even know.
Yeah, it could be.
So, that's Bolt. Also, while we were at the studios, we got to see the last day ever of Super... Well, who knows about ever, but the last day, as far as we
reportedly.
Know... Reportedly. ...of Super Soap Weekends. And this was actually Rebecca and I's very first time ever going.
Are you, like, squeaky clean because of all the soap?
Actually, what's really funny is it's mostly sponsored nowadays by Colgate. So everybody was walking around with little bags of whitening toothpaste.
So, they'd smile and go,
Minty fresh.
Minty.
So, our first and last Super Soap experience, what's one phrase that comes to your mind when you think back on that day, Rebecca?
Underwhelming.
Wow.
Seriously. I expected to see a lot more fanaticism than I saw. I think that I see more fanaticism at ESPN than I did at this. As far as just gear. I expected there to be lots of... like homemade shirts with actors' faces on it,
right.
Kiss me so and so, or take off your shirt, whatever his name is, because they're soap stars. Well, no, but I'm expecting that them to ask guys that if it is a family park. and I mean they do have a parade called What Men We Love or something like that during the weekend, But when the cavalcade came down the street, the celebrities
were
kind of...
I was on OBT.
They're kind of eh. They didn't seem that excited to be there.
Yeah, that's the part that surprised me. They weren't... They when you see go to ESPN the weekend or Star Wars weekends, the athletes and celebs there seem like they really know how to be fan favorites, and they're very enthusiastic. And they do the celeb thing that a celeb has to do. You find one person, you point to them, and you smile and wave. That's
yeah,
that
exactly.
Gives that connection. I didn't see one point and smile and wave.
No, and I think when I look through my pictures, I'll see very few just smiles, period.
Yeah, and some of them weren't even waving. They were just kind of...
They're stars of soap operas, though. They have to be all emo. Maybe
that's what they're fans are.
They're method
actors.
It could be
that my expectations were just, you know, should have tweaked.
I remember when I saw, like, soap opera weekend at, like, California Adventure, I remember feeling very tall. Is that the case?
Because of the other guys?
Soap opera stars are
they're tiny people.
They were all in convertibles when I saw them, so I really can't tell you.
But they seem to be pretty petite.
The other thing that was really amazing to me is I've always heard the stories of the vast number of ECVs and wheelchairs and whatnot that are brought into the park for this event.
Overstated, must be.
Well, when we went, I was really just totally shocked. There was like an entire... Okay, they have their convert... After the cavalcade, they go to the Sorcerer Hat stage for like conversations.
All right.
And off to the left by the American Idol experience was this
Which
large...
Which looks spiffy, by the way.
Was this large kind of roped off section. And... It was all handicap seating where they brought out patio chairs, like little
it's like NASCAR, the center field, or people are just bringing out
the infield.
Yeah, it kind of had that really casual feel. But I mean, the Disney chairs were stacked in the back, and then as they needed more, they would bring them out. But it was just an entire area where you could kind of park your ECV or your wheelchair someplace, and then go sit in one of these, you know, pre-set up. Green chairs. And I mean, and I thought it was really nice because, you know, they can't stand. And if you have that many ECVs, I'm sure it's a mess to deal with. And then the other thing that struck me was just the vast number of gates and fences that were everywhere. It was like barricades.
Gates and fences?
Along the parade route where, you know, Sunset Boulevard is.
Right.
Okay. So you're going into Sunset Boulevard. Well, instead of just kind of letting people stand, like, on the sidewalk and not in Sunset Boulevard or whatever, they had these fences so that you had maybe like a 3-foot-wide walkway down the middle of Sunset Boulevard, but you had a fence, like an L-shaped fence that kind of came out from the sidewalk. So that way people were able to still maneuver around, but yet other people could stand. And I'd never seen them put up. And then on the other side of the street, the similar thing. In between those two shops on the other side of Hollywood Boulevard, the Disney clothing shop and then the the regular shop where if you keep walking you would walk to the Hollywood and Dine place. They had another one of these barricade fences there instead of just a rope.
That's weird.
Yeah, and it was interesting. And like I say, they were everywhere like that. Lots and lots of barricades instead of ropes.
And you say apparently they weren't as fanatical, so it's not like there was a reason to have barricades.
Well, see, and I'm wondering if that's just the experience we had, or if the barricades, you know, kind of helped keep things calm or whatnot. Because I think maybe because of the barricades, I expected to see more kind of, you know, women fainting or something. And just, I didn't encounter that. I'm not saying it didn't happen because we didn't stay for very long. And we didn't, like, go to the major hot events. We just went to the park and roamed around for a couple of hours and everything. So I'm sure, though, Jeff Lang always goes and videotapes it.
He's such a soap fan, that Jeff Lang guy. He loves Super Soap. I don't think he's missed one in years. Well, he tells me all about it. Thanks, Jeff, for being there.
And I know that he was there this year again to provide a video footage of it. And, you know, who knows? Maybe we can get him to email us and let us know. Tell us what you missed. What I missed.
866-718-9408. Tell us the real Super Soap story, Jeff. I have a feeling you know. We did see a couple of T-shirts, though, a couple of custom T-shirts about people saying goodbye to Super Soap Weekend. I think one said, November without Super Soap Weekend is like December without Christmas.
Yeah. There were quite a few that said that kind of thing. Yeah. So it's obviously that people will miss it, and lots of people were asking those people who were wearing shirts like that to stop and pose for pictures. And
it was sweet.
So, yeah.
So, I believe we've been through four parks now with Eric, four of the six domestic theme parks.
And how many more years will this take to finish?
We've only got two more to go. So this goes back to Eric's question from a few weeks ago, months ago, a couple years ago, where he asked us to go through all the parks we've been to, give our favorite attraction in each area, and then our ultimate attraction. Unfortunately, he doesn't ask for our penultimate attraction. I might do that this week. So this week we're doing Animal Kingdom, and let's...
That's not... It's not like second place. That's the one before the last one.
That sounds like something that Michael would say from The Office, which is not intelligent, by the way. So let's start with Animal Kingdom. Let's start with the greatest land of Animal Kingdom. That would be Oasis / Discovery Island, which I'm combining together. We'll start with you, Captain. Your favorite Oasis / Discovery Island attraction?
The hippopotamus.
I want him for Christmas.
Where's that?
Actually, there's this little pig that you know, in the area.
In the Oasis
area. It was Baba Rusa, I think is what it's called. And every time every time we pass by, there's always somebody, some kid, some really excited adult. It's always, hey, look, it's the hippopotamus.
All right.
So the
That's
hippopotamus.
A good choice. How about you, Fatboy?
It's tough to be a bug.
Interesting selection. And why did you choose
Wait, hang on. You have to explain the fact that it's not just the Oasis you're covering here.
No.
Because it's tough to be a bug is not in the Oasis.
Yeah, it's Oasis / Discovery Island.
There you go.
Because it is the only attraction in the Oasis or Discovery Island.
What about the Discovery Island Trail?
No.
What about the suspension bridge?
Yeah.
It is the only attraction.
Okay, fine. Rebecca.
I really like the Tree of Life Garden.
Oh, see, another interesting choice. That's a separate attraction from It's Tough to Be a Bug.
Because fanboy. Tough to Be a Bug is too scary for me. I'll go on Tough to Be a Bug when I have a backpack and a big sleeping bag. And I put the big sleeping bag underneath me and I sit on that. And then I have the backpack and I don't take it off. So.
It's Tough to Be a Bug is one of those attractions is that when you go on it, nobody seems like they're having fun at all.
This is what you look for in a good attraction.
I know. It's one of those weird
things. That's why it won a Theo
Award. Yeah. That's why The Simpsons won.
I believe that won Best Nobody Looks Like They're Having Fun at All Award back in 1980, 90.
But yet,
That's not from Theo. That's from Theo Martin
Saturday.
But yet, people do like it.
Yeah, I mean, they come out of it like, wow, that was great. But when you're in there, it seems like everybody's like, Maya's like a torture experiment.
It is pretty overwhelming.
This is a tough choice for me because It's Tough to Be a Bug is not among my favorite attractions. Yet, as Fenway states, it is truly the only attraction in the area. So I'd like to choose...
Come on, the animals. The Oasis animals, the Tree of Life Garden.
You know, I'm going to go with the
Suspension Bridge.
Are they otters? Is that what they have over there that's in the water and above the water over kind of...
Yeah, they got otters over there. They got flamingos. Yeah.
I'm going to go with the Otter Pops. The Otter Pops. Preferably orange. That would be my favorite. No, cherry. The Cherry Otter Pops is my favorite Oasis / Discovery Island attraction. Next up, Camp Minnie Mickey, another bastion of attractions. How about you, fanboy?
I'm going to go with Festival of the Lion King.
All right, choosing that over the character trail. How about you, Rebecca?
Yeah, Festival of the Lion King.
Festival of the Lion King, yeah.
Yeah, let's make it 4-for-4.
Woohoo!
Wait, well, Spirit of Pocahontas
that's
is
close.
Not there
that's
anymore.
Close,
yeah. It's not there anymore.
That was even called Spirit of Pocahontas.
Whatever.
Pocahontas
and
her forest
friends.
You notice how much better
friends.
That land got when that ride was that attraction close?
Like Super Salama.
Super Salamo.
Character trails are good, but yeah, I'll agree. Festival of the Lion King, which is an underrated attraction.
What? No, it's the highest rated attraction of all Walt Disney World. Showing all of Walt Disney World.
Never mind. In that case, it's an overrated attraction. But it's good. Our next land will be Africa / Rafiki's Planet Watch.
I'm noticing a little trend here.
I'm going to go out of the limb here. Go Kilimanjaro Safaris.
This park really has like one good attraction per land, doesn't it? Rebecca?
I'm also going to go with Kilimanjaro Safari.
It's not just one good attraction. It's just one attraction per land, more or less.
No, because the Rafiki Planet Watch has Guitar Dan. Actually, he moved to Camp Minnie Mickey. And it has the animal petting area.
The Grandmother Willow 3D.
Oh, the binaural sound.
Yeah.
Listen to the deforestation.
Grandmother Willow says you need a haircut.
Is that really it?
No, it's
you're
not.
You're just combining a couple things there.
Yes.
With a saw.
It must deforest.
Okay.
Kilimanjaro Safari, by the way.
Yeah, I think
I really
that's
had to say it.
Another 4-for-4.
Unless Rebecca says otherwise.
Rebecca, Africa, Flash, Discover, Death Squad, Rafiki's Planet Watch.
I already said Kilimanjaro Safari. Oh, you went to me before the captain.
Oh, but then captain threw me off.
Sorry.
By the way, the train, by the way, it would be my penultimate.
The one you go on second to last, because the one you go on last is the train again to get out. Stupid.
That is.
I just like the really brief walk between the train and your destination.
Don't you pretty much walk all the way back to where you started?
It's like taking the first time we thought we were lost. We thought we'd taken a wrong turn. This is before they put up more signs. We got off the train. We started walking. We're like,
It is.
Like, did we get lost?
It's like you walk into Main Street, you take an omnibus to the hub, and then you walk back to Town Square, and that's where the attraction is. That's what it feels like.
That's because you have no sense of direction. You got that
right.
I love you.
You got that right. Next up would be Asia/Asia. And quick point of clarification, which land is Nemo musical in?
Dinoland.
Cool. Asia.
Expedition Everest.
Over Cali.
Over Cali.
Okay.
Over Cali. Though it was Maharaja was close there.
That's what I would pick.
Oh,
Maharaja Jungle Trek.
The gorillas are in Africa, huh?
Yeah,
I'm still going with Cali. Maharaja for you two?
Yeah, Maharaja Jungle Trek.
I am going to go with Everest, although Maharaja would be my next to last.
And
favorite.
It's fun to say.
Maharaja. Oh, and let's not forget.
As fanboy whips out a dollar.
That would be Flights of Wonder. Or, a.k.a. Anybody got a 20?
A.k.a. every other bird show you've ever seen.
It's nice to have a formula.
I'm going to go with Everest as a close second to the Maharaja.
Now, Rebecca,
Trek.
I understand.
Wow.
You're not
Maharaja
a big coaster person.
Trek.
But, fanboy, explain your choice of the tigers over Everest.
I like tigers.
All right.
Everest is just a roller coaster. I mean, it's a cool roller coaster. It's awesome. But you got to... It's Animal Kingdom.
If it took place on Everest instead of the Forbidden Mountain, would that change your opinion?
Absolutely.
Okay. You know what? I think I'm going to switch mine out. I'm going to have to go with Maharaja over Everest.
Oh, what's up with you people?
Wow.
I am up with people. I don't. You know, maybe if the bird was just a little more lifelike.
See, the thing that messes up Everest for me is the whole you could see through the mountain factor. It just takes me out of the whole thing.
Seriously? That big a deal?
Yeah.
You can see through the mountain?
Yeah, you could see through the mountain. But okay. In the whole backwards part, you could look down a little bit and you could see through the whole thing.
Just like the Matterhorn.
Did anyone have to struggle to decide if they wanted to choose Cali?
No.
No.
I haven't ridden Cali in 10 years.
It hasn't changed.
No.
I assume I haven't ridden it about 9.
Wait, 10 years? Like, it wasn't open in 10 years
ago. Okay, rounding up.
All right, so on the heels of that strange choice...
You see, Kelly River Rapids is one of those things, you know, it gets going, and everybody's like, woo, we're having fun, and then it's over.
It's a big thunder mountain of raft rides.
I'm pretty sure that Cali won the 2000 award for best gets going, and then it's over attraction from the Themed Entertainment Association.
And ThemeParkInsider.com.
ThemeParkInsider.com. And I, of course, am going with Everest because I got sense. Did you know that 747?
Three separate structures.
And once every 3 years, the Yeti does work properly. and finally...
And they put birds on sticks.
Finally, we have the penultimate land. No, we just did Asia. We have the ultimate land. There, I used it properly. Dino-rama.
Land.
No, Dino-land.
Dino-land. Featuring Dino-rama.
USA.
Featuring Dino-rama.
How would you know, fanboy? What would you say?
I'm going to go with...
Mamacita.
Donde está Santa Claus? Finding Nemo, the musical.
Over Primeval World.
That's just insert joke here.
Rebecca.
I'm also going to go with Finding Nemo, the musical.
Over Triceratops Spin.
I was debating between that and Dinosaur, even though Dinosaur is kind of dark. But... ultimately,
dark.
I'm going to Finding Nemo.
Captain Midway Games.
Okay, I'm just going to get this out there, that I'm not as much of a show person as the rest of the table. I'm not going to deny that Finding Nemo is a better attraction than the one I'm about to choose, which would be dinosaur.
Oh, I thought you were going to go boneyard.
No, not primeval world.
Dino land. Oh, big bone, so much to say. These old bones ache today, waiting for the sun to set, but it's not time for quitting yet.
Please, Captain, continue. Stop.
This is a plot twist because you know how much I kind of tear apart how dinosaur is a really dumb attraction, but I just have to go, it's kind of fun.
It is fun, exactly. That's why I was torn.
I knew you
were. And it's going into rehab soon, isn't it? I think they're going to replace dino skins on all of them.
Oh, you know what that means. It's now eligible for the 2000...
ThemeParkInsider.com, best rehab.
But I will say that I prefer Countdown to Extinction as the name.
Speaking of dinos...
That actually made it better, like made it worse when they just changed the title of the attraction.
Now, you may think the greatest dinosaurs in Central Florida were at Dinosaur last weekend, but oh no, a fanboy may beg to differ.
Yes, we went to Walking with Dinosaurs, where you're actually not walking with dinosaurs.
Everybody walk the dinosaur.
So tell us more about these dinosaurs that we're walking.
It's presented by the BBC.
Mm-hmm.
As
and my good friend at Dole.
No.
Brachiosaurus, wake up! It's your time. No, but it's these. It's sort of exhibit. It's a show where they go through the evolutionary history of dinosaurs, but they have these amazing puppet dinosaurs. But it's not. It's not like Lion King, where it's like obviously a person with a puppet on his head. But but they have.
It's not Muppets either. Where you know, just
no,
a bunch of guys looking at screens.
No short people here.
Yeah. But they have like you want, like the raptors are kind of on those Eureka.
I didn't even notice that. Kind of
yeah, and then they
Shocking.
But and then so you see the different dinosaurs and they talk about how the world split up and they have some pretty neat segments because they bring out the Brachiosaurus and they're like, but this is just a teenager and you're like, oh, that way they don't have to actually have a big one. And they go, and here's Mama. Okay.
And it's a big one, because these are all life-size, presumably.
Yeah, because yes. this takes place, like, almost 125 years BWD.
Before Walt Disney. Which made us wonder, is that the joke they use everywhere, or do they find something they can tailor, no matter where they go?
Which made me start thinking about, what do you do in, like, Poughkeepsie?
BP.
The guys were nice enough to take my father, who is a really big dinosaur fan. He used to read me lots of dinosaur books when I was little.
Not the mama.
And during those dinosaurs.
Oh, oh wow.
I'm the baby, gotta love me. Big
those were puppets
eyes,
too.
Those are Jim Henson Muppets.
But during intermission, he called my mom. Mom and I stayed home and watched Tinkerbell while the guys all went to see dinosaurs. And he called my mom and told her how he was having a good time, and he was very surprised he hadn't ended up as a snack.
They were large, and we were in the front row.
He was
row
quite C. intimidated by the dinosaurs.
We were in row C, which happened to be the front row, and
in seat 2, 2, and 3.
Yeah, and there were seat 2, and seat 3. No seat 1. That was kind of
seriously.
Funny. Yeah. But they were huge, and so where we were, it wasn't floor level. I'd say we were about 10 feet off the floor,
right?
Which I believe is a song. And so
10 feet off the floor.
And these things would come over, and they just towered over, and we'd look straight up at these things, and it was just, it was incredible. And sometimes they would, like, be right in front of us and do a rah. And if I were 6 or something, I would have been scared. As it is, I was a bit scared, but I'm trying not to admit it. It was quite an impressive experience. The larger dinosaurs, as Fanboy mentioned, the smaller ones are kind of, they're almost like Rubberhead characters, but done really, really well and seamlessly with full articulation and everything. But the larger ones are more like parade floats. But you very quickly forget that at the bottom there's this small structure that's moving them. And it's just very impressive to see these things walking around.
If you want to see, I think that they have some footage of these dinosaurs actually at dinosaurslive.com.
Or you could probably look it up on YouTube and see all the people who shouldn't have been videotaping.
No videotaping. They were very explicit about that. After all,
sorry, it's singular, dinosaurlive.com.
So that brings us back to Animal Kingdom and Doobie's favorite Dinorama. No, yeah.
Dinoland, USA.
Yada, yada. Is.
Laying an egg over there?
The $10 shop over there. That was really cool. No, it's got to be the Nemo musical.
All right.
Oh, just shocking.
Because it's so incredible, but Dinosaur definitely deserves an honorable mention.
Mm-hmm. That little shop that you exit into after, like, that's on the pathway with all the tourist trappy one with all the decor in there. I got to vote for that. Honorable mention.
What's the name of the attraction where you walk through and there's like dinosaur statues? Very small.
The Cretaceous Garden?
Yeah, Cretaceous Trail or whatever.
Is that actually still considered an attraction?
It is on Laughing Place.
I think that actually is removed from the park map as an attraction.
Really?
Because they greatly reduced the size of that.
Gotcha. I like the cars, too. The cars they have parked over in Dinoland with the
toys, the little Happy Meal toys from the decades.
That's a very well-done land. If only it had some... I should say the Dino-Rama portion of that is a really well-done land that sadly doesn't have great attractions, but the look of the land is really nice. Although Primeval World, while no great attraction, is a greatly underrated attraction.
Bye-bye.
It's fun.
It's gone? They just
rehabbed it. It's still under rehab.
Oh, okay.
Just
eligibility.
Yeah. Take that, themeparkinsider.com.
I heard some attractions are putting off their refurb for a few months just so they can be eligible for next
year. Well, some of them close for one day. And just in this year, and then they actually do their major refurbishment next year just to be eligible.
Exactly. So, we've all made our choices. That means we now get to go around the room and pick our absolute favorite Animal Kingdom attraction. Once again, it should be one of the ones we mentioned already, but won't necessarily be. Captain, you can go first. Your favorite Animal Kingdom attraction.
Now, woo, woo, woo. Now, woo, 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 woo. It's a Kilimanjaro Safari is what it is.
You did that very well. Thank you. You know that's the Lord's Prayer.
Indeed.
How about you, fanboy?
KSR. Kilimanjaro Safari Ride. I don't know why they put an R at the end.
Rebecca. I also enjoy seeing the Tommies.
Tommies!
No one calls them that here in the jungle. There you are. The other thing. Wow, this could be our first unanimous best attraction in a park, and I'm tempted to choose something else just to keep it from being unanimous.
No, be honest.
But I will be absolutely honest, and the best attraction in Animal Kingdom, and perhaps the best attraction in all of the Osceola Parkway.
I don't know.
World
Park. Winter Summerland.
Is KSR, Kilimanjaro Safari, right?
That's the universal version,
well,
I guess.
So that makes me curious, though. Oh, go ahead, Rebecca.
Well, I've always liked that attraction, and it's been one of my favorites. It wasn't until we went to that presentation by Joe Rohde on the anniversary of Animal Kingdom, and he talked about the process of creating that attraction, that it just really, like, skyrocketed as far as my interest in it. I mean, like I say, it was always a favorite, but then... When he started talking about how they created, in essence, sketches that were, 360 images that they were able to kind of stand in so that they knew what it was that the visitor would be seeing at any given point along the ride, and how in a dark ride you have the track weave this way and that way as to not allow you to see the next room until they want you to, and they have the dune buggies to direct your view here and there, how they use plants and elevation and whatnot to accomplish that same thing in the safari, but yet you don't really notice it. It's just it went to a whole nother level for me as far as, wow, this is just an amazing ride.
And that was an amazing presentation Joe Rohde gave at the 10th anniversary. I still can't believe it was like a sparsely attended presentation. I mean, just what an opportunity that was. We do have the whole thing on laughingplace.com if you'd like to view it. And it just reminds you what an amazing park Animal Kingdom is. It's just, whether you like it or you don't, the fact is it is fundamentally different from every other theme park Disney's created. Incredibly executed. And
the depth of research and desire for authenticity, which is a very different
and it's a marvel. And
experience.
I don't know my history, but I sure hope that won at the award. Or at least.
Random note, you were talking about dune buggies a second ago.
Uh-huh.
I was at the Magic Kingdom on Saturday, and I thought last time on the podcast you were talking about how you missed the raven. You expect the raven to be there, and there is a raven there.
Oh, he wasn't there when I
rode. He's not in the same place. He's on the left.
Yeah, he's not on a branch thing. But yeah. He's on the side.
That's what I mean. When I'm tilted backwards and I can't really do anything but look straight ahead, I miss him being there in my face, going he does at Disneyland.
I miss the fiber optic stars as opposed to like the little day glow. I got these for my 5-year-old room that they put at Disney World.
I didn't even notice.
Oh, yeah, because, like, at Disneyland, I mean, obviously not originally, but they have, like, fiber optic twinkle lights.
Did those here, come in just, with Haunted Mansion Holiday?
No, they've been there for a while.
Oh, okay.
But they, here it's more just, like, painted stars.
So it's like, they use the black light, probably. Oh, interesting.
I hate to go backwards, but I'm really curious to hear from you guys back on this Animal Kingdom thing.
But you hate to go backwards, but Everest was your favorite attraction in Asia?
But since we all picked the same thing, Kilimanjaro Safari, and I think that is far and away the best attraction in Animal Kingdom, I'm really curious what all three of you guys' penultimate attraction would be.
The second to last attraction in Gowon would probably be the Oasis, right before the parking lot tram.
No, fanboy, what would your second favorite attraction in Animal Kingdom be?
Going to go with Pengani.
Oh, wow. The gorillas. He really likes the smell.
That wasn't even on your former list.
Because it was in Africa. Yeah. Yeah, Africa's where Fanboy likes to be, apparently.
He likes the fragrance of Pengani Forest. Breathe deeply as you walk across the bridge.
Warning. I believe there is a warning as you enter. You must be this tall to ride and have no nose.
Were you with me when those guests were waving at the gorilla and he got irritated and started thumping on his chest?
Yes.
Did he start throwing stuff?
No, I was worried. So I started, I just kept walking.
Because that would happen.
Yeah. The cast member kept telling the guy to stop waving, but he didn't care. So I just kept walking because I really didn't want to experience anything more fun than just seeing him thump on his chest.
How about you, Rebecca, your penultimate Animal Kingdom attraction?
My second favorite attraction would be the Maharaja Jungle Trek. I like the entrance with the naked mole rats.
Naked mole rats.
Yo, listen
not
up. Have a howl if I'm wrong.
Oh,
naked
right.
mole rat
my
is
mistake.
The name of the song.
I knew I was going to do that. I was going to swap
it.
Okay,
if don't
here,
know
let me try this again.
Hang on, fanboy.
You want me to
bats? No. I knew I was going to do that. I always swap that. I like the bats, and I like the aviary.
The aviary is really nice in Maharaja.
And it's a nice mixture. And in my head, I often will swap pieces of it with Pengani.
Yeah. So. How about you, Cap'n?
La Festival, the Lion King.
But I thought you're not a show guy.
That's really funny.
I'm not a show guy, but for some reason...
Is that really a show?
That
I'm
one
just kidding.
Is...
All right.
Well, since it's I know more like a variety review than it is a show.
No, it's weird. I don't get it.
So since I know their answer on this, PRC of the two trails, Maharaja or Pen the other one, Gorillas?
Maharaja.
Okay.
How about you?
Of those two, I prefer the Tigers.
Maharaja.
No. No, I'm going to go with the Gorillas because they have a suspension bridge and I love bridges. Yeah.
And you like throne poo.
And my penultimate attraction would be...
Oh, dear.
Bowel movement, apparently.
Everest is awesome, but as Fanboy said, Everest ultimately is a coaster. So I'm going to go with Finding Nemo the Musical. Next up...
What about making compost?
There is no reason to get on that train. You know, the sad thing
I
is,
love that.
The best
I
part of Rafiki's Planet Watch is the train ride.
No, it's fun to go out there and see all the stuff
not
that
the
Disney's
walk.
Doing and the conservation
and,
efforts.
And the hidden Mickeys everywhere.
And that mural. And then you step inside and there's all those animals all over the wall. It's so beautiful.
And the Grandmother Willow experience.
What about the mural?
When you step inside, the mural with all the animals all over. It's so beautiful. And then you go to the bathroom and they have all these fun facts
about poo.
Poo,
yes.
I thought ours were about pee.
Which one are you going to?
The men's? Because you're at the urinal.
Maybe that's my problem.
Or the urinal, as people in England like to say.
Wow, that was loud.
It was like
being there.
So it sounds like Summer presents the LaughingPlace.com podcast.
This is from Tink34, and I love the subject. Yay for podcasts.
Yay, podcast.
She writes, hey, LPP crew.
Yeah, hey, you know me too.
I just finished podcast 102, which, thank you, that means this one definitely is 103. And I just wanted to share how unbelievably jealous I am of Fanboy's Disney Music Collection. Want to share where you got all of it?
No.
iTunes.
My dad and I chat about what you guys talked about in the podcast, and we did our own favorites of each park, but we found it rather hard to pick. I also wanted to share that my favorite in Tomorrowland is also Carousel of Progress, so you're not alone, fanboy.
Thank you.
Yay.
It's a great
fanboy is not alone.
You are the two people in that attraction. Oh, and Doobie, your favorite movie comes to Disney DVD and Disney Blu-ray on the 18th. Yeah, I didn't forget. And I'm not sure about Bolt beating out Twilight next weekend, but I will most definitely be leaving one show and going to the other. Yeah, after further research, I don't think Bolt has a chance to come close to Twilight.
Yeah, I'm thinking no.
Can't wait to hear y'all's thoughts
on
Bolt.
Unless it's one way for an older child to be able to go to Twilight is if the younger sibling goes to Bolt.
Maybe.
Go see that and I'll come over here.
Can't wait to hear y'all's thoughts on Bolt. I think it's going to be a hit. Well, just wanted to share those random thoughts. Keep up the amazing work. It's much appreciated. Have a magical day.
This is like one of the best TV theme songs. I mean, like, come on.
Yeah. Well, all the Disney afternoon. DuckTales, Chip and Dale, Tailspin.
Gummy Bears.
Tailspin.
I only ever watched the opening of Gummy Bears. I never watched the show. I just enjoyed the opening song.
I hated Gummy Bears, but it had a great song.
Were Super Lami and Bonkers part of Disney Afternoons?
No, I mean the original Disney Afternoon.
I'm just saying, because they both have okay theme songs, too.
The stories to share. You sing out in chorus.
And then, of course,
they're bouncing here, there, and everywhere.
The bookend. Once it gets going. The Randy Thornton version.
The extended mix.
And the fun begins. There's so much to do. We're ready just for you.
Everybody's busy.
Afternoon.
Hey, time to feel the buzz. Why are you gonna feel the buzz? Because just a little dizzy, bringing you a
Disney afternoon.
Did you get to see the Disney Afternoon Avenue that they had at Disneyland? No. That was before your time.
Yeah. That was between my time.
The motorboat cruise to Gummy Glen.
The Duckburg Jail outside of Small World.
Blue's dressing room.
Yep.
I will continue with our next email. As soon as Fanboy finds a stop button. This is from Janie. She writes, "Hey, LPP crew."
Hey, yeah, whatever.
After listening to the last podcast, I wanted to let you know of other cool Mannheim Steamroller songs. This is a very short email, apparently.
Yay.
With the Disney connection, besides just the Meets the Mouse CD. They have a Halloween CD with a couple of songs that I love. One is Night on Bald Mountain.
Ooh.
But the best one is The Sorcerer's Apprentice. That could be a cool Mannheim song. I have these both in a special playlist with other Disney Halloween songs, and they are awesome.
Hey, speaking of Disney Halloween songs, I just found out that Goofy has a rendition of Monster Mash. And I found out about it just after Halloween, so I'm bummed, but I'll buy it off of Napster. I buy from Napster. He buys from iTunes.
And now it's time for Brent's Corner.
Woohoo! Hey, Brent. He writes.
You look at us as if we're... Yeah,
in tonight's performance, the part of Brent will be performed by Fanboy. Hi, Rebecca!
Oh, by the way, I forgot to mention, in the dinosaur show we had, we did get the understudy there.
I know. There's one guy. Okay, there's one guy who's in the show, and then they do a curtain call at the end, and it's just one guy in a huge arena floor bowing for an awkwardly long time.
But they did start the night with, tonight the narrator will be performed by...
To give the crew more DJ Fanboy's iPhone party time, and since I don't have too much to cover this week, here is Diz Freak's email for episode 103 of the LPP.
Yeah, you know me.
Quick hit. As far as the new cellular features on the way to Verizon, even if most of these things will be available to everyone, it makes me want to jump the ship AT&T and change phone providers. I can only imagine the possibilities that they can bring. Digital fast passes, baby. Now, hey, Brent, by the way, before you go do that, I got an email survey that they sent out to, like, annual pass holders and stuff, and they were asking me who my cell phone provider was, what kind of features would be of it. They described the program, and then they asked me, would this be of use to my party when we went to Disney theme park. So I wouldn't necessarily think that only the super, super cool stuff will be Verizon. It'll be interesting to see how it all breaks down once push comes to shove. So, next up, what dropped? Doobie's favorite movie came out on DVD.
Die Hard?
No, Wall-E. Okay, so it wasn't your favorite movie of the year, but for those who did enjoy it, this is one packed DVD set. The new Burn-E short was cute and a fun tie-in for the movie. The rest of the features, including deleted scenes and making-of feature, make this well worth the price. So if you enjoyed the movie, the DVD just adds to the enjoyment.
Well, that'll add to the enjoyment.
Question, if you didn't enjoy the movie?
Maybe it'll help.
I read Kirby's review, A- on the DVD.
Oh, very cool.
And, you know, he created the DVD, not the movie.
Yeah.
And so I have high hopes for it.
Cool. I like that with the Blu-ray that they're doing the offering a digital copy as well.
Yeah.
That's cool.
That is way ultimate. I mean, way cool. Why did I say ultimate?
You've been on this bent ultimate kick all day.
Next up, Brent asks, Bolt, will it deliver?
Yes.
So, after meeting Bolt and Mittens at Disney's Hollywood Studios the other day and hearing the new song, I Thought I Lost You, by Miley, it's Miley Cyrus and John Travolta, I am very excited for this weekend.
Me too.
Not only will I get to see the movie, but those on the Disney Cruise Line will get to see it in 3D as soon as it opens on land.
3D.
So, is Bolt Disney's next great animated feature?
No.
The review will be in next week. Boy, you guys are just a bunch of...
It depends what the last one is. What do you consider great? If the last one was Wall-E, I say yes.
Oh.
If the last one was Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs?
I say no.
Dude. Oh.
Saludos, amigos. Hasn't been the same since.
Someday we should just go down the list. Great or not great?
Snow White.
Great.
Pinocchio.
Great.
Fantasia.
Not great.
Dumbo.
What's wrong with you?
Hold the phone. Fantasia, not great.
Perhaps you didn't hear me.
Wait. Fanta sound.
Not when I saw it.
When you saw it, it was in stereo.
But you don't think it's bad.
No, the question was great or not great.
The implication could be bad.
No, I am being very specific. Fantasia is not great.
Okay.
It is certainly not bad.
Okay.
Perhaps we should save this.
I'm just checking.
For another exciting episode.
That would be fun. So, like, on a scale of 1 to 5, isn't that what you like? You're 1 to 4.
I'm 1 to 4 with no halvesies.
You're 1 to 4
commit
with no halvesies, yeah.
But so, even better, is great or not great.
No, that's not good because I don't know what that means. That just means you
thought... No. How about, popcorn or churro? That sounds even familiar, Just say yes or no to greatness.
To greatness, exactly.
But that doesn't
work. We can define greatness. Greatness is what you call great.
What you say, that movie is great.
Or that movie is not great. Doesn't mean it's not bad. It doesn't mean it's bad. It could be very, very good, but it's not great. For example, Die Hard, great. Die Hard 3, not great. Pretty simple.
But still, Die Hard 3, of course, is
very good movie. I love that movie. But
I'm so easy to please. Everything would be great.
There's Chihuahua.
I have nothing. It
Condor Man.
Nothing would
Something
be not
wicked
great.
This way comes. Return to Oz.
The Million Dollar Duck.
I love all those except for Return to Oz. It's just creepy.
But you don't call them great, do you?
I don't know.
If you do, that's
I can't
fine.
Call them. No, the problem is not the ability to call them great. The problem is that I have the inability of calling them not
that's
great.
That's not what you're saying. The question, then it's a yes or no question. Is it great?
Oh, okay. There we go. I can probably answer that.
See, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. Yes or no.
That is better, Captain. That's why you're here.
I can probably do that. That would still be difficult.
Yeah, that's the only reason why I'm here. Thank you.
Which one?
Dumbo.
I love Dumbo.
Dumbo's great.
So, yes or no?
Dumbo is great.
Okay.
Wait, yes or no? This is how we're doing
Yes.
Yes, Dumbo is great.
Fantasia.
Yes.
There's no doubt.
The Great Mouse Detective.
No.
Ooh.
Yes, it has great in the title. Must be good.
The Basil Baker Street.
too much fun.
Okay.
All right, we will do this sometime.
That'll be fun.
I'll just randomly throw them out there because I like that.
Yeah, that way we can
Real
sprinkle
quick.
Them throughout an
one,
entire episode
one
so
more
that way
you
it's
guys.
Not like just boring.
One more?
Dinosaur.
No.
Oh, you know what? I want to see it again because we saw it right after we had a really big argument, which happens sometimes with married people. So I don't really remember it.
But Dinosaur, what did you say? You have to decide because that issue.
I don't really feel like I saw it.
I've seen
like
it since. I've seen it since, and that's a yes.
I thought it was a beautiful.
Dinosaur, yes.
I remember thinking it was a beautiful.
The
film.
Trailer was the best part of the movie.
Oh, that's so true.
After that, no.
I agree with you. It's not great.
It's not great.
It's no.
The trailer was good. That first intro to the movie, that was great.
Game plan.
It's funny because for me, Lilo and Stitch, while I really love Lilo and Stitch, the opening sequence for me is like the best.
Oh, I agree.
I can just watch the opening sequence and then go, okay, and leave. I don't have to watch all of it. And then Lion King is very similar for me that way.
How about
watch
Tarzan?
Watch Circle of Life and then go.
Tarzan's a good one.
Ooh, that's
Tarzan?
I think Tarzan is a yes.
Tarzan's a no.
I think Tarzan's a yes only because I saw that Phil Collins. It is Phil Collins,
yes,
right? Okay.
Because
I saw that Phil Collins concert where he talked about the film and how much his love of his daughter played in it and everything. It was filmed at the El Capitan. It was put on the Disney Channel. Mm-hmm. You can see me if you know who I am.
Which I do.
Yeah. So you could see me, but most people wouldn't know it was me.
Do you need to require special glasses?
Yeah. Yes.
Does it work on every tree?
No.
Tarzan's a definite yes.
But that's why for me, because it's like, see, that's why it's hard to say great or not great, because I am so
it's
moved
a personal
by
question.
It is.
That's fine.
Okay, that's fine. Well, because
for example, Lilo and Stitch.
See, to me, great is like, you know, like Academy Award or whatever.
No, because Die Hard is not a great film.
Okay.
Oh, but to me it is.
Okay, no, that's fine. I'm with you now. I understand that.
Okay, so we're good?
Yeah, that's
okay.
Cool.
Lilo and Stitch.
Great.
Fanboy.
That's great.
That's a toughie.
It's a no for me.
I'm going to go with yes.
That's an easy yes. All right, that's fun. I could do that all night, but time's a-wasting. So let's move on.
Move along.
Moving right along.
Move along.
Let's start with the Captain's Challenge.
Anytime now. Early in the morning. That was me singing along like I normally do, not actually doing the thing.
Okay.
See.
What was our last week?
Last week, I did a toughie one because I didn't do it at all. It was actually Fanboy and. Oh. We started out from
the
beginning.
We made the mistake of letting Fanboy offer a suggestion for a question.
Oh, no.
I thought you guys knew what
wait. Hang on. It was not a suggestion for a question. I'm the one who just said, let's make that the question. He wasn't giving it to us as a suggestion, really.
No, but I thought everyone knew what it was until we stopped recording, and they go, so what is a code H? Like, please. Everybody does.
Doesn't matter.
I didn't know.
I'm sure it was something interesting.
Did anybody know?
And it was interesting, for sure. Utah Josh says, as a former Main Street custodial host, I know that the code H means one of the Main Street horses has left a smelly surprise on the street.
Oh, what a very
that's
appropriate way to describe that.
A bit
that.
Of a relief, because I knew that's what code H was, that it was poo.
You
I
just
didn't realize where it came
it
from. Yeah. So.
But as another insider, code H can also be used when animal of another kind leaves a smelly surprise anywhere in the park.
Like on the teacups or mm-hmm. other child-based attractions.
Or like a thing I dog?
Or as yes. I remember correctly, once when one of my friends that worked at Disneyland told me, Innoventures is 101 due to a code H.
Oh, that would be unfortunate.
We had a friend who told us a not pleasant story about a code H on the Mark Twain.
No, it was... Was it? I thought it was Columbia Sailing Ship.
It was one of the boats that go around Disneyland. Yeah. It was a sad, it was a sad story, actually. But makes you have respect for the people in white, that's for sure.
Yep. Definitely got to love those custodians. They help make the magic.
They all right. Keep it clean, that's for
so,
sure.
So,
I love the pixie dust that they sprinkle.
Pixie
that's
dust.
That's effective.
That stuff's amazing.
Oh, the Vauban?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The pixie dust.
Is that what they call it now?
That's what we've always called it as guests.
Oh.
I don't know what cast call it, but whenever I see a spill on the floor of some sort and I see a cast member come over with that stuff that they sprinkle and all of a sudden it stops smelling like vomit.
No, it just starts smelling like Vauban.
Which is
much better.
Is that what Tinkerbell smells like?
I wouldn't
paprika?
Know. Paprika? I've not gotten close enough. But I was very thankful for it the other day while I was waiting for my family to exit Tower of Terror because somebody had just walked off Tower of Terror and lost their cookies right there by the video screens where you look at your picture.
Oh, you know, they'll give them, if you just bring the container back, they'll give you new ones.
And I said lost their cookies. And I was very thankful for the pixie dust because the that's a very confined space, and I was concerned that people were going to be... I was concerned of a domino effect.
You know I've got to know. If you literally toss your cookies...
Oh, stop.
Will they?
No. If you're eating an ice cream cone and your ice cream falls off and you just go back with the cone, will they give you more ice cream?
Absolutely.
Really?
Yeah.
How do they know that you didn't eat it?
That's just the international rule of fair foodum.
Disney theme park.
You don't lie about dropping your ice cream or your soda, and the flip side is if you actually do drop it, you get a free one.
Oh, that's nice. Did they do that time you fell down the stairs at Columbia Harbor House?
Yes, they did.
Okay.
And thanks for sharing.
So,
by the way, I fell up the stairs.
Oh, you did. That's right.
Down would have been much more painful.
I remember once I did find someone that violated the code. They said, I finished my popcorn. I said, oh, you going to get a refill? I'm like, I didn't know they offered refills in it on popcorn. I said, no, you just bring your down the box and say you dropped it.
Said, someone actually said that?
Yeah.
See, that's against the code.
I know.
I'm pretty sure that's a capital
offense. I believe
you must keep to the code.
Yes. Anyway, what do you got for us this week?
It would
week,
ruin
Captain?
It for everybody.
What do I have? I have a question that I was like, boom, right now. Rafiki's Planet Watch. What was it called before it was Rafiki's Planet Watch?
Oh, very good.
I know.
I used to know that.
Another replace my snack was a guy bought a churro at the churro cart in front of Country Bears right there in Frontierland. Took two steps and one of those large white stork things swooped out of the sky, grabbed it out of his hand, and ran off with it.
I've seen those birds take off whole hamburgers, and that's just sad. You know, the guy's walking around and all of a sudden, phoom, and it's like, whoa. Hamburger's gone.
That's a part of the rule. I'm pretty sure that was a subsection added in the 80s.
Yeah, it required a two-thirds vote of both houses of the Food Congress.
Yes, and it held up to the Supreme Court.
Mm-hmm.
So we have a Stump the Crew from our good buddy Brent, and with any luck, Captain's going to play that right now.
Hey, this is the Disc Freak Brent live from Disney's Animal Kingdom. I just met Riley Pearson, the author of Kingdom Keepers.
Oh, I forgot to go. The third
book is going to be out in late August, and it's going to be mostly at Epcot, which is very exciting, in Disney's Hollywood Studios. I'm off to Go Ride Expedition Everest, but before I do, I wanted to give you your Stump the Crew for this week. Since Bolt is coming out very shortly, I was wondering what legendary professional wrestler voices a small character, but voices a character in Bolt. What professional wrestler voices a character in Bolt? Well, I'm off to go run Expedition Everest, and can't wait for the next podcast.
Put that down.
And I have a birthday to Mickey, who celebrated his 80th birthday, of course, this past Tuesday. Thanks, and I look forward to seeing you guys, actually, this weekend. Go see Bolt with you. Thanks, and bye.
How come no one ever says happy birthday, Minnie?
That's a good question. By the way, Brent, I recommend you go with Sprint as your next cell phone provider, judging by the quality of that phone call, because that's that big tree next to you in Animal Kingdom. That should give you some tremendous service.
Yeah, I know. Plant of the week.
I think I might know this one for one reason and one reason only.
Because you just Google searched it right
now.
Because, no, I didn't.
Because Dave of our red carpet crew, he called me today to say, you know, there was this guy at the red carpet. I had no idea why he was there. And then he did his voice for me. Oh, yeah, step into a Slim Jim. And
the
so
Macho Man Randy Savage.
I think it
Savage.
Might be Randy Macho Man Savage, just for that reason.
Oh,
although he said Mr.
Dude.
T was also there. But he's not a wrestler.
Okay. I pity the fool.
Okay, now.
That doesn't bite into a Slim Jim.
You are absolutely right.
Yes.
Okay, now, who's the name of the Imagineer Randy who has, what's his last name? Do you know?
Randy Bright?
Oh, okay. Because when I was looking at the list of voices today, and I saw Randy Savage, I thought of that Imagineer, and I thought, oh, that's cool. They grabbed the Imagineer, they had him do it. I didn't, because it was a familiar name, and I thought it was familiar for the wrong reason.
Oh, yeah. Jimmy Superfly Snuka's going down in WrestleMania. Oh, yeah.
Surprised they didn't get Mick Foley.
Let's see if I'm right. He's too nice a guy.
We used to see him at the park all the time.
And the correct, and we're back. Wait, we never left. The correct answer, the classic wrestling superstar who voices someone in Bolt is none other than, oh yeah, he actually writes that, the Macho Man Randy Savage. Can you snap it to the LPP? Brett, that was a great question.
I still buy Slim Jims because of that guy.
A better answer. That was awesome. You know who was a really Slim Jim? Jimmy the Mouth of the South Hart. the manager. We saw him at a Rays game one time.
Yes, we did. Yeah. He was there with Nasty Knobs.
Yes,
and
Nasty Knobs himself. And Gary, oh, what was his name? Not Gary Hart. Gary Valentine.
Gary Hart.
Gary Valentine, I think that's him. I was a big wrestling fan back in the 80s. Mama used to take me to the sports arena to see the big wrestling matches come through town.
Serious?
Oh, yeah.
Hulk Hogan.
I saw Hulk Hogan
Andre the Giant
wrestle right in front of my face at the
Who
sports
won?
Arena. I believe that day Andre the Giant won. It was like leading up to WrestleMania. The way wrestling used to work, at least back then, because they would travel the country, basically showing the same matches at every place with like the same outcomes leading up to the big televised event. I think they've gotten a little more sophisticated now. Back then, they used to try to say it was real.
Yeah.
I knew better. Maybe. I think
before characters came back to life.
I think I was like one of those, yeah, I think it's fake, but there's like a 20% chance.
Like Cloverfield.
No. So, one more thing before we close out this show. 50 words or less, Fanboy and I got the opportunity to see Winter Solstice last year, or you might know it as
Quantum of Solace.
Last year?
And it was last week.
Last year. Like you got the super preview screening.
Seems like last year, the way it's in my mind right now, because Fanboy had the brilliant idea of seeing the film at 9 p.m. on a Sunday. Doobie goes to bed right around 9:05 on a Sunday.
So you guys see the trailers.
So I had a hard time staying awake during this. It was a better movie than I give it credit for, because I just pretty much, I didn't sleep, but I was fighting it.
Oh, by the way, as an FYI, Randy Savage voices Stug.
That makes sense.
That's the name, dude.
Oh, yeah.
You're good at that.
I've seen it a lot. So I give it about nowhere near as good as Casino Royale, but still a very good movie that I'd actually like to see again while I'm fully awake. How about you, family?
I liked it. Not as good as Casino Royale, but better than... what else have we seen this year? Better than Smart People.
Better than Bank Job?
No, not better than Bank Job.
Was it great or not great?
No, it wasn't great.
Okay. Was the first one?
First one was great.
Yeah, I agree.
It's no Dark Knight.
Oh, that's
not very many things are.
That's a whole different category. Podcast left place. I'm 866-718-94 is right before we close out. Anybody got anything to say?
No, not at all.
I do.
Oh, you do? Okay.
Yeah, me too.
Shocking.
You two do. All right.
Tell us, Fanboy.
I am excited.
Make quips on you.
Because after the success of Rascal Flatts.
and phones.
And the phone vibrates.
After the success of Rascal Flatts and Hannah Montana and High School Musical, Disney is extending their boundaries with a brand new music label called Disney Pearl, signed the one and only Yanni.
I read this week, too.
What?
I guess, you know, Hollywood Records is for pop, Lyric Street is for country, and Disney Pearl is for bad music.
Hey, now.
Do you really call it music?
Hey, now.
Okay, sound.
Bad sound.
So they're going to be producing a concert tour, which we still have to go to if it comes to Orlando.
You know what? We don't.
Yeah, we do, because I hear the trash can will be there.
Opa, Yanni.
And
so they're also going to have two PBS specials relating to the tour. Two PBS specials.
Dude, this is huge.
Isn't that really two PBS specials too many?
Stop.
Are there any Yanni fans out there?
Yanni?
Is there one Yanni fan out there listening to this?
His name is Yan.
All you need to know.
Yep.
His best-selling album has sold 3.6 million copies in the U.S.
Which people buy just to be cool. No one's actually listening to
there
it.
There are 40 million people in the U.S. who think Elvis is still alive. I'm not impressed.
Really?
At what point do people start to realize,
by the way,
even if he had not died then,
he'd be dead. Yeah.
This album actually is going to feature a quartet of singers. It isn't just simply
Eden Espinosa, Billy.
This is his first foray into vocals.
I have a confession to make.
Yes?
I've never actually heard a Yanni song.
Well, see, so...
I fear I might like it.
You know what? You know what his most famous song is?
It'd be funny if that were true.
Well, you will have to go to your Napster to go and add a little bit of Yanni so you can learn about it.
Yanni.
Am I the only one that just finds that out of all the artists in the world Disney was going to sign?
What does he play? Not really want you to expect.
What instrument does he play?
Piano, I think.
Because I'm confusing him with Yo-Yo Ma right now.
Yo-Yo Ma?
He doesn't do cello.
No, not the cellist.
No, right. this is the guy who kind of always looks
Yanni.
Like Gallagher.
Yeah.
The pan flute guy.
He's the one that smashes pumpkins.
No, not pan flute guy. He's a pianist.
That's Zamfir.
Yeah, but he looks the same.
Who they're signing next, by the way.
Who they're signing next, yeah.
Then Victor Borga.
He's dead.
They're signing him, too. As well. Yeah.
Dude, you guys are so harsh.
We are harsh, and you know what? If I got the chance to interview Yanni, I'd be right there. Oh, I love your stuff. I can't wait to hear all three of the people we just mentioned.
It should be Zamfir, the flutist guy.
Fanboy.
And Yanni, the...
Pull out your iPhone. Let's play your Yanni. I know you got him.
I don't have any Yanni. What's the closest thing?
And Yo-Yo Ma all together.
Yo-Yo Ma.
Here you go.
The closest thing I've got to Yanni is...
I'm working on it right now. I don't think so.
Come on. A little known fact. Yanni was born on the 6th of January.
Once a year, they throw a party.
Isn't that Illuminations?
Wait a second. This is Yanni?
Yes.
This ain't so bad.
Yes.
That doesn't sound like a piano.
How does he play so many instruments?
You're right, fanboy. We do need to go to that concert. That's not that bad.
No.
He's more than just a pianist. He's also a composer.
Did he ever play a flute? So I won't be crazy.
I have a question. Is John Tesh available?
And I think my real problem was I was fully confusing him with Yo-Yo Ma.
Yo-Yo Ma, the cellos. Bum, 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 bum.
Okay, now play some Yo-Yo Ma. Burn him to that, too.
But yeah.
Oh, I think I have something Yo-Yo Ma here, too.
No, you don't.
Let's see here. What's the closest thing I've got?
Once a year, we throw it. I'm a Yanni convert. Who knew?
Yes. There's nothing wrong with Yanni.
Next thing I know, Zamfir is going to be
on. Do you like John Tesh?
Nah, as a person.
No, but I mean, have you ever heard his concert?
I loved him on E.T. John Tesh.
Oh, the other E.T.
What is this supposed to be?
It's I didn't have anything with Yo-Yo, so I just went to Y-O-U. Don't bring me flowers from the Essential Neil Diamond.
Well, thank you for that.
That's the closest thing to Yanni.
Yes.
Why?
My dad was a big Neil Diamond fan.
Aww. It's nice of you to think of your father.
I have that.
Oh, let's hear some America.
Oh, you want to hear America?
Do you remember the Neil Diamond impersonator we saw at... DCA? He was so... If you closed your eyes, he sounded just like Neil Diamond. But he looked like Ron Howard from Andy Griffith's Show. He looked like Opie.
He did.
What is this?
It's America.
Okay, never mind.
West Side Story.
Oh, you want the other one?
Close it. Rebecca, what do you got?
Dude, I want to live in America.
Why do you have West Side Story on your iPhone?
I downloaded the only Broadway CD I would ever need, and apparently that's on it. As well as what else is on that?
No, Rebecca.
Well, Doobie and I encountered one of the more interesting Walt Disney World guests I have to say I've ever encountered in my entire experience
as a
Disney World guest. We were waiting for the boat at the boardwalk. And we were taking the boat from the boardwalk to Disney's Hollywood Studios after having enjoyed a delightful late lunch at ESPN Zone and watching football.
ESPN Club.
Oh, I'm sorry. You're right. ESPN Club and watching football. And the lady behind us, you know, she got in line with us and then, she's like, I'm trying to get to Disney's Hollywood Studios. Is this the right line? And I'm like, yeah, you're in the right line. And the lady behind her wanted to make sure she was in the right line and confirmed with her too. So, that was pretty normal. Then, the lady proceeds to tell us her tale of woe, and how the whole reason that she is taking this boat ride is because she'd been at Disney's Hollywood Studios all day and really needed a cup of coffee, and couldn't find one. So she went back to the boardwalk to get a cup of coffee. And given the fact that I'm pretty sure I saw her buy the coffee that was in her hand at the little mozzarella stick stand that's right there by the boat launch, I'm not thinking she was looking for any special kind of coffee. She was really just looking for coffee. So she, I was very confused by this. Then she proceeded.
She decided to go to the coffee shop at Hollywood Studios.
Seems like a straightforward question.
Yeah, but I did ask, because she was actually talking to the lady who was behind us, and so I just kind of, you know, heard this whole thing. And then she proceeded to tell her about, ask, you know, how, that they say this is really gonna, you know, they say this is a really long ride, but, you know, I guess it's the best way to get there. I couldn't believe it. Earlier today, I took a cab to Disney's Hollywood Studios from here.
The cab driver actually took their money.
$6.
Like, $6. I couldn't believe it was like a three-minute ride.
$6 cab ride from the boardwalk to Disney's Hollywood Studios. And if you've ever been dropped off by a cab at Hollywood Studios, it's not convenient. It's a long walk because you have to, you're on the other side of the barricade where the handicap parking is. So she was like, she said, I ended up walking in the street and people were yelling at me to get out of the way.
If you just exited the boardwalk and made a right and then went straight ahead, you would have just hit Hollywood Studios.
I don't think it's that much longer of a walk from the cab parking to the main entrance than it would have been from the boardwalk to the main entrance, depending on which side of the boardwalk she's on, west side or the east side.
Either way, you can go out the front door, you can go out the little walkway.
So it was just listening to this poor lady. I was like, I felt so bad. I felt so bad for her.
Yeah, but she was from New Jersey.
But the thing, stop. She was. But she didn't. But the thing was, she didn't seem to be irritated about it. It's like,
no.
She seemed to realize that it was kind of her own fault. So she wasn't like, you know, oh, those Disney people don't know how to do anything. It wasn't anything like that. But as somebody who comes to the parks all the time, you just felt like, oh, dude, the poor lady. She's been on this boat. Her daughter was waiting for her back at the park to meet up. You know, she's on this, what, half-hour boat ride now. And the boat kept stopping. It's like you get on the boardwalk boat and it goes over to the yacht club. Like, boop. And then over to the Swan and Dolphin, and then finally to Disney's Hollywood Studios. So, yeah, so Jimmy and I got a kick out of that.
But she got her coffee.
But earlier in the day, I saw one of those great guest moments that I always love to just kind of stumble upon, and it was a dad waiting for mom at the base of Tower of Terror, and the two children were in the blue, double-wide blue Disney stroller, and dad was tilting the stroller back as far as he could and just bouncing it up and down, you know, so that they were kind of tilting back and forth. And he was like, ah, stroller of terror, stroller of terror. So it's very cool.
Have you seen the new strollers?
Are they terrifying?
Mm-hmm. Oh, I haven't yet.
Are they strollers of terror?
Did they raise the price again?
I hope so. But I don't think so. No, there's new strollers.
Oh, very okay. Cool.
At the Magic Kingdom. I think they're going global from what I would presume, but starting off at the Kingdom.
Cool. Do they still not have the ankle biters like the, remember back in the old days with the metal ones that were just total nail your ankles?
Oh yeah, these are look very environmentally friendly.
Are they wider?
They're made out of,
no, they're skinnier.
Yay!
They're made out of coconuts.
No, they're made out of, you know how like
the professor.
You know how when you buy like composite plastic, like those
right,
benches.
Yeah,
that's what
they
look
okay,
like.
I get
cool.
You.
Cool. Awesome. I look forward to seeing those.
So a word of warning, apparently, you know, to all our listeners, if you are acting weird on Disney property, we will give you an elaborate description of your behavior.
And make fun of you.
Not me. I won't. I try my hardest to stop that.
I will.
Too.
I'm a boy.
The only reason we make fun is because it just makes us so happy to see guests who are able to come to a place like Disney World and basically check their brains at the door and have a good time, because when I'm on vacation, that's exactly what I
was
going to
say. People who operate the Williamsburg broadcast have stories like this about us,
yes,
from our trip there.
Exactly. And frankly, anybody I run across has a story like this about me. So.
Did we tell you about Always Food Center?
Oh, dear.
So
he had a doozy this week. Wish I could remember.
All in good fun. We are the LPP.
Yeah, you know we.
And we can be reached at podcast.
You don't have anything to say?
No. We can be reached at podcast11place.com, 866-718-9408, podcast section of the discussion boards. Once again, even though I'm now a convert, I'd really like to know if we have even one listener who is a fan of Yanni.
Who owns albums.
Who owns an album. Do you really own albums these days?
Well, they may have from the past. Or I just mean that would be a fan.
Yeah, if you own an album, if you own anything from Yanni, it's probably from the past.
And don't forget,
Captain's Challenge. I didn't mention earlier, but post in post the laughing
it.
Place.
That's right. That's where you post your challenge. Yep.
Discussion board.
Enjoy Thanksgiving. Eat lots of turkey.
That's right. We won't be here next week because Emily's watching the Dallas
gobble,
Cowboys
gobble, gobble.
Take care of business. So have a good Thanksgiving. And until next week.
Thank you for listening.
Everybody do a gobble, gobble, gobble.
Don't be a turkey. Gobble,
gobble, gobble. I can't. Enjoy the Macy's
Parade. Trip over the fan and we'll see you later. Enjoy the Macy's Parade.